everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion class at Wings Christian Fellowship. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And before we do that, how about one of the kids start us off with a word of prayer? Shalom, would you like to?
Sure. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, I ask you, God, that you protect us today, God. You give us a worthy service, God. I thank you, God, for bringing us all here safely, God, and that we're able to worship and sing praises to your name, God. And God, I just ask you, God, that you're all with us here today, God, and that you give us a brighter future, God, if we have one, God. And God, I just ask you, God, that you notice all the food that's getting inside our body today, God, and that you just help those people, God, who are struggling to find you, God, and that you show them your way, God. And God, I just ask you, God, that you're with us today, God, and you show us your way, God, and that we're able to praise you peacefully. Jesus, I'm afraid,
amen. Thank you so much for that lovely prayer. Okay, it looks like we read through the 17th verse of 1 Matthew last week. So, does anybody have anything else to discuss in there? Because we did have the generations on the male side of Jesus, but working its way down to Jesus. And we talked about that we are the 42nd generation.
Yeah.
Hi. So, do we want to start at verse 18 then? Okay, which one of the Wilsons here? Or, I'm sorry, the Weavers. The Wilson Weavers would like to read this one, starting with verse 18. And let's go to the end of the chapter.
All right, so I'm reading in the Amplified Version, Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother Mary had been promised marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband, Joseph, being a just and upright man and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss and divorce her quietly and secretly. And as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from and out of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrews, Joshua, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and the scope of life, which is coming. All this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife, but he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen.
A lovely story. if anyone noticed that back in those days, it was frowned upon to bear a child out of wedlock. These days, not so much.
Actually, you would be stoned to death over that.
Yes.
Back then.
Wow.
Yeah. You know. That's pretty frowny.
Yeah.
They actually would stone him to death.
And Joseph was a just man.
Yes, he was.
What does that word just mean? I'm going to look it up here. He was a righteous man observing divine laws. In a wide sense, upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. Innocent, faultless, guiltless. I'm sure that's pretty overwhelming. I don't think that he was 100%, you know, guiltless in all things. But I'm sure that the desire of his heart was to walk with God and to walk pleasing to the Lord.
He was an obedient man.
Yeah.
Because when this was told to him, he did it. So he obeyed what God had spoken to him and believed it.
And
believing.
You know, he says, do you think that in those times it was much more, I'm asking this question because I don't know, so I'm not trying to make a point. Do you think in those days it was more, it happened more often that an angel appeared to people? I don't know. I know that I've never had an angel appear to me that I've recognized in my life. Oh, wow, that was an angel appear to me. But in those days, do you think they were just more conscious of that? Or because an angel of the Lord declared unto Mary? No. An angel of the Lord, and back in the Old Testament, you know, a lot of people were woken up out of their sleep by an angel, and I think that if you ever were visited by an angelic apparition, I think that just coming up out of sleep would be a time when it would happen, because you are still, you know, not, you haven't filled your mind with earthly matters yet.
The transition between consciousness.
But what do you, you know, how do you think people reacted when an angel would come to you, and especially if they, as they came to Joseph and said, oh, Joseph, you know, don't, this that has happened to your wife is of the Lord, and that she has conceived of a baby of the Holy Spirit of God. I know that today, when that same story gets told, people go, yeah, right. You know, they don't believe it. And people these days are just much too cynical to believe that a move of God, that God can override any rule like that, you know. Well, I don't know, what do you guys think about it? Anyone of any age.
I think it would be according to the form, because last time they didn't know it was an angel. Yeah. Back in the day with Lot, when these men came, mm-hmm. and also when the word was given to Abraham concerning he and Sarah with child, going to have a child, those were, well, angels are ministers of God, mm-hmm. sent unto them, and then when the angels came, when these,
the former men,
yeah, when Lot, when they were coming after, yeah. those that was in Lot's home.
Well, there's a scripture that says, be not careful to entertain strangers. In other words, If a stranger comes, entertain them, you know what I mean? In other words, take them in or whatever you need to do. Because it says some have entertained angels unaware. Yeah. So we have to realize that whether or not you were aware that there has been angels around you. And You know, my mother, she told me one time, she said, mother was back, she lived back in the 50s and 60s, you know, when she first got saved, I mean, I'm talking about. And there was a real hunger for God for people back then. I mean, people would jump in a car and drive 100 miles to go somewhere where there was a move of God going on, you know, and someplace that they'd never been before, you know, they were seeking after God, you know. And she said one time she was in, and mother used to go in the back room a lot of times and, you know, have the lights off, and she'd be in there praying. You could hear her in there praying. And she said one time she was in there praying, and she said she prayed and said, God, show me your perfect will for my life. And she said, you better watch what you ask for, because sometimes he'll show you something. He'll show you something that maybe you ain't really ready to receive at that point. And she said that it was like she felt like there was angels ministering to her in that room. And she said it felt like where she was laying on the bed when she was praying. And she said it felt like just balls of fire were just hitting her in her mouth and just running up through her, you know. And she said, and it was like the Lord showed her standing behind the pulpit, like, and the word of God just pouring out of her. And she said, my first reaction to that was, I have these four little kids. I can't do that, you know. And she said, I actually heaped condemnation upon myself because I didn't feel like I could go out and do what God was showing me. And here's the thing. Don't try to interpret what God speaks to you. Let the interpretation unfold itself, because if you try to interpret it, you're probably going to get it wrong. And anyway, I had seen Mother many, many times sit and talk on the phone with people and just let them pour their hearts out to her, and her just encouraging them and just, you know, ministering to them like that, you know, her sisters and a lot of her relatives and things like that. And Mother's name was Irene, which meant messenger of peace, you know. And that's exactly what she was, you know. And she was always about trying to bring peace into situations, you know. So that pouring forth the word of God sometimes is not always what you think it is. Now, I can tell you this, and I'll be quiet in just a minute because I don't want to do all the talking here. But, you know, I one time I had a brother give me a prophetic word, and he said, Brother Oscar, the Lord wants you to get alone with him, you know, and praise him. You know, so I basically said, okay. Well, I went home, and I went in the back bedroom, and I was in there just praising the Lord. Just laying on the bed praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, let me get lost in your praises. And it was just like I heard a heavenly host singing praises unto God. And it was the most beautiful singing I'd ever heard before, you know. And I've never heard anybody that could even begin to match it in the natural singing, you know what I mean. It was just beautiful. And then it was like the Lord showed me a vision, and he spoke to me, and he said, he said, rise and kill the fox. Well, the vision he showed me was me standing behind a pulpit. Well, I was only maybe 19, 20 then. And you have to realize, because I had epilepsy when I was a kid, and God had healed me from that, I did not want to get around a lot of people or get up in front of people and talk or anything like that. I was very bad about that. I didn't even like to go in restaurants because I felt uncomfortable, because I had had seizures in public when I was a kid, you know, and I felt very uncomfortable, you know, doing that kind of thing. Well, so as far as I was concerned, I'd be the most unlikely person in the world to ever get up in front of people and talk to them, you know, about the things of the Lord. But anyway, and the Lord, he spoke to me, and he said, rise and kill the fox. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And I prayed about it, and that particular night when I came out of the room after praising God, literally that whole night as I walked around, it didn't even feel like my feet were on the ground. I mean, I was just so euphoric a feeling of having been in the presence of God that it just, I mean, it was a tremendous, tremendous feeling. And anyway, what what happened was about a week or so later, Brother Eddie got up and preached a sermon. And he was preaching this sermon, and the sermon was "The Little Foxes That Spoiled the Vine." See? And when he started preaching that sermon, I knew exactly what God was talking to me about. He was saying it's not the big things that will basically keep you down, it's the little things. It's the little things that you allow to gnaw away at the vine. And you know, he's the vine, and you know, he's the vine, we're the branches, you know, that's what scripture tells us. And you know, I began to realize what God was saying, you know, that don't let the little things, you know, keep you from doing the things of God. And it's like, have you ever thought, well, I'm gonna go pray for an hour or something? And the minute that you start thinking that, all of a sudden, you start thinking, oh, I need to take the car and have it serviced. I need to do this. I need to do that. I got to cut the grass. I got, and all these other little things start hitting your mind, you know. Oh, I told Margaret I would take her to the shopping center or you know, you know, and just things like that. But I learned that what you've got to do is whenever God's drawing you aside or anything, you've got to go aside. You know, don't let the little things in life keep you away from the things of God, because they will if you allow them to do that. But you know, I've had experiences, and one time I was in bed, and I was a real young Christian then. I was in bed. I didn't get saved till I was about 21. I was about 21, 19, 21, something like that. And I was laying in bed, and it was like I had my eyes shut, and it was like I saw a big, like, looked like a man over top of me, you know, not you know, like out in front of me, but over top of me, way bigger. And I had my eyes closed, and then I opened my eyes and looked, and it was still there. Well, I was kind of scared because I was a young Christian. I didn't understand what that was, you know. And here, you know, I think it was God appearing in the room as an angel or whatever you want to call it. And the angel of the Lord, when it talks about the angel of the Lord camps about them that fear him, the angel of the Lord is the Lord, if you want to get right down to it a lot of times. And God appears into you however you need at that time. And that's why everybody's experience is a little bit different than the other person's. But me, I probably needed that at that time, you know. And you know, and like I say, don't be surprised if somebody that you're talking to out in the world happens to say something to you that really ministers to you in some way, mm-hmm. and then you never see that person again. Mm-hmm. Well, was that an angel? You know what the definition of an angel in the Bible is? It's spirits that he sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Yeah. Ministering spirits, that's what it is. And it can be in the form of a person, it can be in the form of anything that God decides to minister to you about or through, you know. So anyway, I'm gonna be quiet now. you guys jump in now.
Well, I think the whole story of this is the integrity of Joseph.
Yeah.
You said it right. He did what he was told to do, and he didn't hesitate, and yet he had lots of options. Mm-hmm. He actually had three or four options. He could marry her, he could divorce her, he could get her stoned, or he could just ignore it. Ignore the whole situation and walk away from it. But he didn't.
I mean, back then, you got to realize weddings were usually prearranged.
That's right. Yeah,
so people knew that Mary was going to be Joseph's wife. They knew that. So, you know, by Joseph taking her in when she was pregnant, what was he doing? he was bringing some reproach upon himself because he had, before they had actually had a ceremony, it was making it look like he had had relations with her. Mm. So he, and men didn't get stoned over things, you know, but women did, you know, and, you know, so when you think about that. And something else, think about Joseph. What was his name, Joseph? Where's the other Joseph in the Bible?
The other went to Egypt.
Back in Genesis, yeah. And look at what happened back there. You know, how God ministered through him, you know, to bring salvation.
Yeah.
And the name Joseph means he is giving increase. God shall add to me another. And you know what? That's exactly what God was getting ready to do with Joseph, with his situation with him and Mary. God was going to add it, you know.
Well, he knew the consequences.
Yes, he did.
He knew what his consequences were, even if he married her.
Right.
That they were going to live in some kind of a stigma in their lives about that, you know, because of the time that they were, the times that they were living.
Yeah.
But he still stepped right up to the plate and did what he had to do.
That's right.
And, you know, that's what God wants in us. He wants, he wants us to have the integrity to step up to the plate and listen to him. You know, it's, I don't know if I've ever had a visitation from an angel or not, but I know I've had lots of times in my life where I knew that something was, that I was in a situation and I had to make a choice whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing. And I knew something was talking to me that said, hey, you don't need to do this. And that's, I think that's the same kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it what you want to call it, your inner conscience or whatever, but it's still the same thing. You know what's right, you know what you have to do, and you have your choices, and you have the choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
Well, it's like the what we talked about a couple of weeks ago about Samuel, the name Samuel, we mentioned it, and it means heard from God. And look at Samuel, you know, the prophet. You know, he was just a kid. He wasn't even a man at that point. And something spoke to him. And he ran into Eli, you know, the priest, and said, yeah, master, hear mine, you know, basically. And he said, I didn't call for you. And he went and laid back down. And then the voice called, spoke to him again. And then next thing you know, he got up and ran into to his master again, to Eli. And he said, I didn't call for you. Eli did have enough sense to tell him, the next time you hear that, say, Lord, here am I. You know, and he did. And God really spoke to him, you know. And Samuel was a tremendous prophet in the Old Testament. But you got to remember, like what you're saying, Mike, Scripture says that obedience is better than sacrifice, you know. And being obedient to what the Lord tells you to do when he tells you to do it. But you got to realize also that it doesn't mean that you super failed God if you feel like the Lord wanted you to do something and you didn't do it. But learn from that situation, you know. And when you learn from that situation, you'll learn to hear the voice of the Lord, and you'll learn to know to move when he speaks to you to move, and you know, that kind of thing. So, but
I think if you don't do it, you usually know not too long after.
You
that I should have done it.
You feel bad. I told this story one time, and I don't want to speak too much, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray for this young girl that was, well, she had been born with some kind of disability, and I was a real young Christian, and I had only been saved for a real short span of time, and I wasn't an elder in the church or anything like that, and this situation looked kind of impossible. You know what I mean? So I felt like the Lord was urging me to pray for this person. See? And I didn't do it, you know. I mean, I'm just being honest, I didn't do it. And I went out of church and I felt so much condemnation and stuff. I mean, I felt really bad and I felt like, oh, I really failed you, you know. And then I said, well, Lord, if that person's here tonight, when I come back to church, as we were having Sunday night services in, I said, I'll do it tonight. I'll do it tonight, you know. And I got to church and I'm sitting in the pew, you know, and I'm sitting back toward the back because I always sit back far, you know. I'm sitting back toward the back and I looked around, didn't see them. They were nowhere in there, okay? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, I don't have to do this, you know. And then I heard a noise in a minute or two after that. They were sitting directly behind me, that person, directly behind me. And I still didn't pray for them. And that really bothered me. But what the Lord was teaching me in that is that son, when I tell you to do something, because when you know, it's like a little kid. And you have to realize when we first come to the Lord, we're like little kids, you know. And you tell a little kid not to do something or to do something, and half the time, what are they going to do? When they're real little, a lot of times, just the opposite of what you said, you know. And you have to learn to know the voice of the Lord. And I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. And those people ended up leaving the church shortly right after that, so I never saw them again. So I often wondered what would have happened had I prayed for that kid. But let me tell you this. That's the thing. We have to not be trying to figure out what's going to happen if we do something or if we don't do it. That's all in God's court. All you have to do is be obedient. If he tells you to pray for somebody, you pray for him. And then leave it with God. If he wants to heal them, he'll heal them. If he wants to set them free, he'll set them free. You know, if he doesn't, he won't, you know. Mm-hmm. So but you need to be obedient to whatever he tells you to do. And you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. That's what Scripture says.
Yes.
So you go through points of suffering and points of basically having to repent because you knew you failed God in a situation, you know. And I learned after a while that whenever the Lord tells me to pray for somebody, I go pray for them. You know, I mean, but that was many years ago, you know. I mean, I've been saved for basically 50-something years, you know. So, you know, but you learn as you go, and you learn to be obedient, you know.
It's a new way of walking, just like a baby. A baby learns to crawl and walk and that kind of walk. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we get saved, this life is a new way.
Yeah.
And it's him directing us and showing us which way to go and what to do.
Yeah, it is.
And so we are learning. Mm-hmm. And there's experiences that we are having that we fail in, but he is also forgiving.
Yes.
Because he's teaching us.
That's right.
So he expects us to fail in some things, but he is faithful in forgiving us and then teaching us to move further on in him.
Well, see, the Scriptures don't say anything else about Joseph after that, you know what it says right here.
Yeah.
But you know that Joseph had a large impact upon Jesus' life, you know, because he was...
Yeah, it was said when they go there in the other Scriptures, when they go... And there's no room at the inn at
all.
And they're on the road, and then God speaks to them
to
take a different route.
He tells them to go down into Egypt, you know, basically.
Different way and all. And, to preserve the life of a child.
Right. But like I say, you don't, you know, you hear almost nothing about Joseph as it goes on, you know. So
here and there, when they were on the road going, and when they went. And Jesus at 12 was in the temple.
Right.
And his parents so that's Mary and Joseph, you know.
But it doesn't actually say Joseph anymore after that, you know, because, you know, Jesus made a statement one time. And they said to him, they said, your mother and your brothers, they stand without desiring to speak with you. And what did he say?
Yes.
Who is my mother? Who is my brother?
Who is my family?
Yeah. They that hear the word of God and obey it and that kind of thing. You know, that's the kind of stuff he said, you know. So, you know, their importance was not anything compared to the importance of his relationship with the Heavenly Father, you know.
Oh, yeah, with the brother, the disciples
right,
around
right,
him, because
right.
they were blood family.
They were his family, that's right.
Showing, yeah, the importance of his disciples, those that are doing the will of God and wanting God.
Right.
They were the ones that prior and of importance.
Kathy?
Okay.
Anybody else got anything? You guys got anything you want to say? You guys speak up and feel free.
Yeah,
you got any questions or anything?
Well, you know, when you were talking about and the angel of the Lord came mm-hmm. and spoke to Joseph, and that, at that time, it was in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a connection between the spirit of prophecy and being having to use that to say, oh, that was an angel. Because if somebody walks up to you and just said, Mary, sit down, I need to talk to you for a minute. You're going to have a child. And, you know, you call his name Emmanuel because he's going to save it. You have a pretty good idea that that person is not just speaking to you off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
They're speaking you to you from the heavenly realms. And the same with Joseph. You know, this was in a dream. Okay, it was in a dream. So I don't think you can limit how the angel of the Lord will come to you. And just like Oscar said, the angel of the Lord is the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're laying there and you're dreaming, and I'm sure that Joseph has not just gone all over town and told everybody what's going on with Mary, his wife. You know? And so this is something that the regular fellows hanging around in the town didn't know anything about, but yet, someone came and said, you know, in a dream, Joseph, don't be afraid to take this woman, Mary, for your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm sure, well, I guess back in those days there was a saying among people that, you know, the Messiah would come,
mm-hmm.
and the Messiah would come through being conceived by the Holy Spirit. But there were, they say, in those days there were many, many, many misunderstandings and people would call that out every time a girl got herself, you know, oh, this is the Messiah. But it was, I mean, you know, I'm sure there was no shortage of that story being told around, but yet of Mary it was true. And so when someone came to Joseph in a dream and said, don't be afraid, because that's been conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
I think it is so important that God is wanting us. He said, my sheep will know my voice, and
yes.
others will not follow.
Mm-hmm.
I know there ain't that speak to us, sort of, but if we are open and on the frequency to hear God's voice, because when you look at a radio, TV, waves, there's a antenna, there's those that is picked, they're in the place that picks this up, that is coming in, and we will watch and see it. So I know, I've learned in my walk with God, of knowing his voice, and it's come out of relationship with him. And I remember when Paul had said that he had taken it to the third heaven,
mm-hmm.
and then how he spoke, whether he was
in the body or out,
or out
of the body.
He
didn't know.
He didn't know. And I've had experiences
right.
where I've had,
sure.
didn't know whether I was awake or asleep, whether it was a dream or a vision, but it was real what I received.
Sure.
And that. And I think God is wanting us to be open to him, that we know his voice through whomever
right.
or however he
right.
speaks. I know sometimes you can even look at a commercial or look at something out on it, and God will speak to it through it. A song
yeah.
that is maybe known as a worldly, a world,
mm-hmm.
but it's been written out of a person's heart, their very being, that God is speaking to them, whether they're not professing to know him,
mm-hmm.
but yet God is speaking to them in the, and through them, because he'll touch your very spirit and speak to you, you know, through that. And I just see the importance.
Well, even
and this is to the kids too.
Even the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. You know, God speaking in all different realms, if we'll just ask him, and we should pray and ask him, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit is saying to me today.
Yes.
You know, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And your faith will increase as you learn to hear his voice. And you'll hear it in everything.
Oh, yeah.
You'll start hearing it in songs. You'll hear it. You know, even the secular songs out there, if you listen to those songs, there's a cry coming out of people's heart to know the Lord. You know, I spoke one time I can't think of the group's name right now. But anyway, as I listened to that song, it was a rock and roll song. Actually, it was a soul song from back in the old days. Mm-hmm. And as I listened to that song, I could just hear the Lord's voice all over that song.
Oh, yes, crying through.
You're crying through the person's heart, You know, but, you know, he's speaking to you continuously. If you'll just, and even once you pray, when you pray, ask the Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit is speaking unto me.
And you know, when we're even around friends here, so we know them so well, that in a group or somewhere out, and you hear them, their voice, you know them when they're coming down the street or coming, because you've been around them enough, you know their voice.
Right.
And I believe God is so wanting us to so spend so much time with them in the Word. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a song when I've been to us, it talks about coming into thy closet, you know, and spending the time with God, how you come to so know his voice and him speaking to you, no matter how or through whom or what.
That song was "He Makes Me Feel Brand New." You make me feel brand new.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
Now
I
you listen to the words of that song, and so I tell you.
It's
a stylistic show. You make me feel brand new. And just read those words sometimes. Listen and read them. And I'm telling you what, that could be a gospel song.
Oh, it could.
It could be a gospel song very easily. Because, you know, he talks about, you know, being a friend in there. He talks about all these different things. And you can you could put a scripture with every one of those verses in that.
Because he does make us
feel right.
He does. Each and every day.
Yeah.
Each and every day.
So, I have a question for that. So, it's very big issue for Christian to doubt fear the voice. This is it. Lord voice, or this is come from a different way. So I tried to give like a testimony last month. I was in praying. So, you know, everyone has a way how God talk to you.
Yeah.
So, you know how God come to talk you to. And when I was in praying, I was praying for something I want. So, the way I talked to God, the voice that came when I was sleeping, they told me, this one you pray, it's impossible. You cannot get it. I'm very disappointed. So I slept. Next day, after 2 days, the voice came again. It's like angel. They came, they told me, oh, this is you pray, it's impossible. You not take time to continue to pray. So I was very disappointed again. And then after I finished my prayer, so one day I was it was morning, I was sleeping, and I got again the angel come to my room and they told, oh, think you pray, you're gonna have 100%. So the two times the voice come to me, it's the same the way the angel come to tell me these things it's possible. Mm-hmm. So the big question is this one. It's very, very, very hard to know this is a voice, it's from God or from my mind, from more evil, from more. Because sometimes the evil, they came as angel God, and they talk, and you think maybe this, oh, I got a voice from God, I want to follow this one like that. So my question is, how you can identify this is its voice, and it has confidence to say this is a voice, it's from God. Mm-hmm. How? It's very, for me, so I can, but the little kids like that, the kids or some Christian has the same issue to identify the voice of God, and how you can identify. I don't know if you understand my question. So how you can identify? I give you the testimony to say the same angel from God, the way they came to me is the same way the evil came to me. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I was thinking it's a voice from God. So it's very easy to, it's not easy to identify the voice of God. How you can identify, how you can know that.
Are you directing that at me?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're directing at me. Here's the thing. That's why I think that when you pray, you need to ask God, give me ears to hear what your spirit is speaking unto me today. Okay, I've shared it with you guys some a little bit before. You know, we have five natural senses. Mm-hmm. You know, five natural senses. We have five spiritual senses. They're exactly the same as the natural senses, but they're on a much higher realm, much higher level, okay? So, you know, if you feel like you should do something, you know, let's go with this, the simplest one. First one is feeling, okay? Feeling is, that's the least sensitive sense you have, feeling. Okay, if you feel like you should do something, then Scripture says, test the spirits and see whether they're of God. Okay? Now, God is not going to tell you to do something bad. He's not going to tell you to do something. If there's a voice speaking in your head, go shoot somebody or go rob somebody or go, you know, that's not the Lord telling you to do that. You know? So you have to use some common sense that's inside of you. But feeling is, if you feel like you're supposed to do, let's say you're sitting out in the church, okay? And let's say all of a sudden you start feeling like you should go and pray for Sister Brenda. The devil ain't gonna tell you to do that. He ain't gonna tell you to go pray for, God's gonna tell you to do that. If you start feeling that way, get up and go pray for her. You know, feeling, that's one of the senses. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste Him? That means you have to partake of Him. You can't taste something without taking it inside of you. You have to partake of Him. And remember what happened when the angel of the Lord appeared to Ezekiel and a couple different people, and they told him to take the scroll and to eat it? Well, what's he saying there? He's saying, take my word and take it inside of you and eat it. And what was it? It was sweet to the taste, but bitter to the belly. In other words, it's always easy to receive the word of God, and boy, it's sweet. When God's poured His revelation in you, it is sweet. It really is. But then there comes a time when it gets down inside of you, and you have to start walking it out. It's a little bitter to the belly, then you gotta make it happen, see, sometimes. That's like, God's not, you know, years ago, I knew the Lord was moving with me about prophetic word, you know. I had been given a word when I first got saved by a prophetic ministry. And the guy said God had called me to be a prophet unto the nations, okay? And I believed that because I knew some of the encounters I'd had with God and some of the things that God had shown me. You know, that time I told you about when there was a time when he told me that he showed me behind the pulpit. I was only 14 years old then. I hadn't even given my life to the Lord. I hadn't committed my life to the Lord. Now, is the devil going to show me something like that? No, he's not. But it was years later when I actually got saved. I was 21 years old. But the thing about it is that, you know, you got to realize that all of those senses, you know, hearing, how does faith, what scripture say, how does faith come?
Hearing.
By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, the highest order and the highest sense in your natural body is what?
Sight.
Seeing. There's this thing about, it was a little on the track, where they took these people in a dark room, and they had something in this dark room, and they said, okay, go in there, and then come out and tell me what was in that room. And one person went in there, and they felt around, and they felt something that was fuzzy and long, and they came out and said, oh, there's something fuzzy and long in there. Another person went in, and they said, oh, something felt like a big tree trunk, you know, big round, came out. Another one went in and said, oh, there was a long kind of nose and it was wet, but didn't know what it was. Another one went in and said, oh, it had long, thin ears, you know, or long, thin something. None of them knew what it was. But when they turned on the light, they saw there was an elephant in that room.
Yeah.
That's the highest order. Scripture says when we see him as he is, we'll be what? Just like him. Just like him. And we should always pray, Lord, let my five spiritual senses begin to develop where I see things for what they really are. I understand when I hear things, I understand what's really being said there. And you know, have you ever talked to somebody, and and I'll give you an example of this. Down south, if you go down south, and people have sayings down there sometimes, they'll say, bless your heart. And a lot of times, they're not blessing your heart when they say that. Bless your little heart, they'll say, or something. They're actually kind of pattering you down, you know. But people say things, but when you have sense, and your senses are developed, you know what they're saying to you. You know that they're not really complimenting you, or they're not, you know. And that's the thing. We need to ask God to help us develop those five spiritual senses. There was 10 virgins. Remember that? The story of the 10 virgins? Five of them didn't have no oil. Five of them had oil. And the ones that had oil, when the master came, they rose up and went. And the ones that didn't have oil said, you know, give us some of that oil. Well, they didn't give no oil. You know, but the thing about it is that's a type of your natural being. You've got 10 virgins inside of you. You've got the five natural senses, and then you've got the five spiritual senses. Now, what we need to do is pray to God and ask him to cause us to begin to function in the five spiritual senses. When we function in the five spiritual senses, you'll see things and know things that it's the Holy Spirit revealing it to you, see? And we have to realize, and five is the number for grace, anyway. Five is the number for grace. So when you function in the five spiritual senses, you're going to be functioning in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be functioning in the grace of God, you know. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
But ask, if when you pray and ask, and let me ask you this, what did Jesus say? He said, if one of your children comes to you and asks you for a piece of bread, are you going to give them a stone? And if they ask you for something else, are you going to give him a snake? No, you're not. you're gonna give them what they ask for because you love them. And when you ask the Lord to give you the sense, the spiritual senses to discern, the discernment, to know what's happening around you and what you should do in each situation and circumstance, you'll do the right thing. You'll do the right thing. He'll let you know. And if you don't do the right thing, right away you'll know you didn't do the right thing. It's like me that time when I didn't pray for that kid when I was real young Christian, and I didn't pray for that kid. Buddy, I felt lower than this. I felt like I had to crawl out of church. I felt so low because I thought I was disobedient to the Lord, you know. But, you know, you'll know. Just ask the Lord. Give me ears to hear what you, first, give me ears to hear what your spirit is speaking unto me and unto the church. And it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to understand. He wants you to see. And just realize that all of those natural senses, you know, taste, touch, smell. I tell you what, I've been in meetings before where it would be like you could smell the fragrance of the Lord. It'd just be beautiful. It'll just be a beautiful presence of the Lord, you know. But just realize that when you pray and ask that, He will give you that ability. And it will get stronger and stronger as you go on farther and farther in the Lord. And don't worry about something trying to trick you, because you'll know. God will give you that sense of knowing if somebody's really trying to trick you into something, you know. I've had people over the years, and being a pastor to a certain extent, I've had people tell me, "Brother Oscar, you're my pastor," and I knew they was lying through their teeth. I knew it. I mean, and I'm not saying anybody in here, but I in the past I've had people say that to me. And I'd tell Margaret, that we'd walk away, and I'd say, "What I feel like when they said that, it was almost like somebody punched me in the stomach." Because the Lord was letting me know what they're saying to you. They're not serious. They're not serious. And He will let you know those things, you know. And you just have to realize that don't be afraid of what could go wrong. Be afraid sometimes of what you didn't do that was we were obedient to God. And that fear is that, Lord, I repent and ask His forgiveness, and then next time the Lord speaks to you, do what He tells you to do, you know. I don't know if that helps you or not. I hope it does.
I have got myself a little thing that I just say to myself when something's, and I feel like the Lord's there. I just stop for a second and I go, "What are you trying to show me here, Lord? Tell me what what are you trying to tell me here?" And I think what that does for me, it makes me stop my normal mental thing. Mm-hmm. And go to a different realm, a spiritual realm, and be awakened to what He might be trying to show me, and then just stop and hesitate, and then I find out that really helps me.
Yeah. Okay, fellas, it's time to close. We've got a mob at the door. Come in here and give gifts to flowers. How about it? Would you close in a word of prayer for me?
Father God, we thank You for bringing us together, Father, to come and read Your word and just to speak the truth to us and to Brother Oscar and to the person here today. We pray that, Lord, Your truth will be told, and that, Lord, that will be brought into our hearts, Father, Lord, that we may obey You and may obey what You say to us, Father, Lord, and that, Lord, may hear Your voice, Father, Lord, and that, Lord, You'll speak to us and others, Father, Lord. I just pray that, Lord, You'll bless every one of us, Father, Lord, and be with us, Lord, as we head out. And that, Lord, You'll be with us in church service. And just, Lord, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.